So the first thing I wanted to talk about that I said I wanted to talk about.
The thing was, that you were laughing about when you walked in?
Yeah. And okay. I put books on the table because I always put something on the table.
Yeah.
I think it was really funny because Reagan just said that he is doing a book report on me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Which does not seem like, first of all, it doesn't seem like a book that he would like. And second,
I don't know,
of all,
you like it or you wanted to read it.
Yeah. There's a difference.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying you wanted to read it, so that surprised me.
But second of all, it just seems like a really, it's not a book report you would do for middle school at all.
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Just because there's so much talk of sex and there's a lot of swearing in it, like,
yeah, maybe
any
not.
Teacher who knew about the book, they like a seventh or eighth grader walks in and is like, oh, I read this book and let me talk about it. They'd be like, okay, this kid probably shouldn't be reading this book. But I also have a different viewpoint than, I don't know, a lot of people.
I don't know. I mean, I think it would kind of depend. It's definitely not one that I think that you wouldn't read it as a class, like in...
I hope not.
No. I'm saying I don't think it's one that you would read as a class in middle school.
No, it ain't.
But I could see it as maybe like a seventh or eighth grader, if they chose it, if it was something where they got to pick an individual book and do a book report on it and it wasn't assigned to them, I could see a teacher being approving it because there's a lot to grapple with in that book and it's like...
That's a good point.
There's a lot there. Like, it's not just a dumb book about, like, teenagers being stupid and, like, dealing with, you know, sex and coming of age and like that. Like, there's a lot of meat to that book when you get past the humor. So I don't know that a teacher would say, maybe for a really young kid, like a fifth or sixth grader, probably not, because you wouldn't.
Here's the problem. And this is what I was actually, I'm about halfway through the book. I remember watching the movie a long time ago.
The book is so much better.
Years and years ago. And I thought the movie was really good because I like sad movies. And
yeah, I'm finding that out this week.
I don't know. It's like sad movies.
Okay.
Call me what you want. So,
have you seen Atonement? If you want to see a sad movie, that is the closest I've ever come to crying in a movie.
I don't even
know if I've heard of it. And I don't cry in movies at all. And that is the closest I've ever come. It's Keira Knightley and James McAvoy are the two stars of it. It takes place during World War I. It's really good.
I like James McAvoy.
It's a drama. It's very, very sad.
Okay, good. So, I'll watch it. Anyways. So, I'm about halfway through reading Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and there's this really weird thing about this book where, at least from my standpoint, the language in the book is not for, like, middle schoolers, really, maybe eighth grade and up, but it's not something I would want my kid as a seventh grader reading, or an eighth grader probably, but at the same time, the humor in it is not that funny if you're older. Like, the way he describes things is so infantile. Like, the way he tries to be funny is just like his ways of making things funny, he uses language that like an eighth grader would use to try and be funny.
I think some of that maybe, I mean, I don't remember who the author is. Do you know? Do you know off the top of your head by reading it?
No.
I don't know. I'm just thinking, I don't think I've read anything else by that author that I know of. So I don't have anything else to compare it to. So I don't know if it's his writing style or it's just
that's
supposed,
I mean,
to be the character is like that.
Maybe,
where that's
but it's
the,
not funny and it's supposed to be funny.
Well, I don't
Parts
know.
Parts of the book are funny.
Parts of the book are very funny. But that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure if, because the whole thing is like a first person account from a high school kid. And this kid is admittedly, you know, like he's willing to admit it himself that he's kind of socially awkward. He doesn't really fit into any particular group. He's kind of weird. The movie plays that down a lot and makes him cooler, like most movies do, where they make people cooler and more attractive than they are in a book. But in the book, he's supposed to be kind of an awkward, doesn't, I mean, he really only has one friend. And so I could see it having been written just as, this is supposed to be somebody who maybe is a little bit socially inept. And that it's just part of his character is like, that's why some of the jokes don't land, or that they seem like really immature humor is because this
immature
guy,
humor. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. It's because this guy isn't supposed to be this cool, popular, mature guy. He's supposed to be this kind of weird loner almost. That's a little, not quite an outcast, because he gets like, he's able to, you know, that's when he talks about his strength is like, he can navigate high school without making any enemies, but he also doesn't fit into any groups. I mean, he really only has his one friend until he starts what's her name, Rachel, I think. And so he starts hanging out with Rachel because she's dying.
Well, we're not here to talk about
we'll have a book review podcast.
Yeah, let's have a book club podcast. Except we wouldn't have a club. So we're here to talk about Zombieland. Directed by Ruben Fleischer. I don't know what his name is.
Well, you have a phone there.
Look it's up. Ruben Fraser or something. It's not that important. He hasn't done much else. He's done this.
Did he do the second Nomadland?
He's doing the second one, yeah. Okay.
Well, that's some good. Weird independent We've talked about stuff. That. Consistency yes. in directors is important.
Yes, consistency in directing is important. He did some weird stuff. He did
stuff like what?
Weird, like not even independent film weird, like almost like they were homemade type films. But then he also did like that unicorn film with
Brie Larson.
Yep, that one. And I don't know. He's kind of done some just movies not even worth like. Like, this and Zombieland 2 are really the only things
he's done. His crowning achievements.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Yikes. So, okay. Yeah, whatever. The more important part, let's get the intro over with. I'm Nate.
I'm Karina.
And this podcast is limited to everything. The most important part about this movie is the characters, not the characters. The actors. Am I wrong or am I right?
What do you mean is that's the most important part of the movie?
The best.
Well,
I'm not really I'm just sure trying to say I like the actors. Do you like the actors?
Oh, yeah, I do. I just wasn't sure where you were going with that because I feel like the actors are the most important part of most movies. So I don't know. No. Yeah, I mean, I like the actors. Is that what you want to go into first? Is talking about
sure. Okay. So let's say we have Woody Harrelson as Tallahassee. We have Jesse Eisenberg as Columbus. We have Emma Stone as Wichita, and
Abigail Breslin as Little Rock.
Yeah, and Bill Murray is Bill Murray, and that's about it.
And Amber Heard.
Oh yeah, Amber Heard is the girlfriend.
406.
406. Yeah, right. As her apartment number. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is I like the cast of this movie, and as actors and actresses, I like them all. I don't think I've ever seen anything with any of them that I didn't like. However, I do feel like this is not Emma Stone's best performance. Oh, like,
I agree with that's you on my, that.
I love Emma Stone. I think that her more recent stuff is really good. I think she's become a very good actress, but definitely some of her earlier work like this, it's a little rocky in places where and it just...
If you have other examples, like what else? Because I'm not a big Emma Stone...
I'm
not a big stoner, so I don't know.
The House Bunny, she's in that. And granted, she's supposed to play a very awkward character in that as well. I'm going to look that up real fast.
But another,
just because I don't know what the year is on that.
So with Emma Stone, I actually did not like Emma Stone because I didn't think she was very attractive. And sometimes that's how I decide, you know, what female actresses I like. So the thing that really switched that around, I never really wanted to watch a movie with her in it until I watched La La Land, not knowing I was going to watch La La Land because I went and watched it with you and Elise and some people at the theater, and I didn't know what we were going to watch. But that was a really good movie, and I liked her a lot after that. This might have been the only thing I've seen her in other than that movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, she's in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
The House Bunny's from 2008, so the year before this movie. Mm-hmm. So, just earlier on in her career. Not that she's... I think she plays awkward characters better than she plays serious characters. Her character in The House Bunny is kind of awkward. It's supposed to be...
But you just said that was a bad performance.
It's not... It's still not one of her better performances, but I think in general she plays awkward better than she plays serious and refined and put together. I think she just seems to be somebody who has kind of a goofier personality, and it lends itself to more like weird facial expressions and kind of physical humor. So what about
La La Land then? Because she's kind of an awkward character in La La Land, but not goofy or anything.
Yeah,
like
not
that
the same
at all.
Kind of. It's not the same kind of awkward, and she's definitely not as awkward in that as other roles that she's played. I think she's really good in La La Land, but that's also a lot more recent. What is that, 2 years old, 3 years old, something like that? That's a lot more recent than these, which we're looking at. These are 10 years old, 11 years old. She's had a little more time to just to get experience and to refine her skills a little bit. Because, I mean, she's not that old. So she would have been fairly young when she was making these. So I don't know. I mean, her role there is different. It is a little awkward. I still think it was really good. But on the whole, I think I like her better in more humorous roles where she's supposed to be kind of an awkward person. So like the House Bunny, like Easy A, some of that stuff. Which I know you haven't seen those, but
yeah.
It's just where she's supposed to be more of like, she's more of like a high school klutz kind of, or a college, you know, girl that's, you know, a klutz or kind of socially inept or something like that, where she's, you know, where she gets to play up this, like the silliness of her character more. So I like her better in those roles personally, but that is not to say that she's bad in things like La La Land, because I thought she did a really good job in La La Land too. Like I liked her in that, but if she had made that movie, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, I'm not sure I would have liked her in it, because I don't know if she would have pulled it off as well. But that's just me. I mean, I still like her a lot. Like, it's not to say that she's bad. I just, because she's supposed to be, like, tough and kind of cool in this movie, I didn't feel like it was very believable. I don't know, almost, yeah. I mean, like, obviously movies are scripted, but, you know, when things feel scripted, like, somebody's going line to line to line, yes. and or they're, you know, like you can tell, like, all right, and my script says they do this motion and then they do it kind of thing.
That's so. Exactly how I feel right now about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because that movie is, or that TV show is very, very, like what you're talking about, like scripted in a bad way where it's just, it feels like you're watching a high school drama play.
Granted, that's very old television, but
it is. But I'm also torn because it's really, really, really funny writing, and I just wish the delivery of the lines was better and felt more natural, and that movie, that TV show would probably have.
Okay, I haven't seen very much Buffy, but who do you feel like you get that from? Because isn't it Sarah Michelle Gellar or something? Is the,
yeah,
and she, I feel like, was a decent actress. Like
she's one of the better.
She's in some other stuff that I've seen from that same era, like Cruel Intentions and stuff like that, and I feel like she's all right in those.
She's one of the better performances in that show. The other two that co-star with her, Nicholas Brendon and Allison Hannigan, struggle a little bit more, definitely. Especially Allison Hannigan. But
obviously she got her act together and went on to be really funny in How I Met Your Mother, though.
Oh, she's in that?
Yeah, she's Lily from How I Met Your Mother.
Well, I don't watch that show.
Oh, she's great in that.
I like her a lot in Buffy. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just torn because the delivery is so robotic and like they're reading a script, but also it's Joss Whedon. And so it's really, really funny and just super witty. And
yeah,
you thought you've like heard every comedic way somebody can twist a conversation. And then you go watch that show and it's like, oh, there's just so much quality content.
I need to go back and watch it or keep watching it, because I got several episodes, probably 4 or 5 episodes into the first season. And I don't remember why I stopped watching it. I don't think I had a good reason. Probably just one of those things. I'm bad at watching TV shows. I have a hard time finishing them. It took me 2 years to finish Friends. And I love Friends. Like, Friends is, which I know that's in some hot water apparently on social media right now, where everybody's like, it's not funny. Lies. It is funny.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It is funny. It is funny. But a lot of these people that don't think it's funny also think The Office is funny, and I think that show is terrible.
Yeah, I'm not an Office person. I had Parks and Rec, though, which I know is very similar and kind of came out of The Office's success, is a really, really funny show. It has a great cast. It has a better cast than The Office. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah. See, I'm an Arrested Development person.
See,
I can't, which I think is really weird, because I know that it falls into the same kind of genre as the other two, where it's that, like, very much it feels, you know, supposed to feel like an interview or something, or like somebody's just following them around with a camera. They're not trying to hide that. It's supposed to feel like real life. It's supposed to be awkward and very uncomfortable. There is no laugh track. It's supposed to be, you know, very situational, and you're supposed to be kind of appalled by the characters in a lot of ways. But I think Arrested Development is hilarious, and I can, like, I love that show. And I don't really like the other two at all. Like, I just don't. I struggle to find the other two funny at all. I mostly just am bored and kind of uncomfortable when I watch them.
That's kind of the point. People like that. People like watching the show and feeling that.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that is the same thing that Arrested Development is going for, though. Like, it's that same, like, it's supposed to make you uncomfortable, like The Office does. It's supposed to make you, there's supposed to be a lot of secondhand embarrassment for these characters, even when they're not feeling embarrassment. you're supposed to be.
Yeah, The Office does that. Yeah. The few episodes I've seen, it does that.
Yeah, and that's what Arrested Development does. But for whatever reason, I love that show, and I cannot do the other two, so.
Always Sunny is King. So that concludes our discussion about Emma Stone. So let's talk about the other actors in this film. We've got Woody Harrelson. We've got Jesse Eisenberg. How do you feel about these two dudes?
As to be expected, Woody Harrelson is great in this movie. He's so good. I think we can come back to his character in a minute because I think there's more to unpack there. I thought it was funny because Jesse Eisenberg, I felt like this character is very similar to his character in The Social Network. And
Let's start.
Funnier? No. I felt like there was a lot of similarities. And when did The Social Network come out? It was close to this one, right? Maybe a little bit later, like 2011 or something.
I want to say 2011. I'll check it, but I'm not sure.
You
just
say what you're going to say. So I'm going to look it up.
It's not that important.
Well, I'm just curious. I don't want to
when we decided we were going to do Zombieland, and I was thinking about Jesse Eisenberg as an actor.
Oh, 2010, so the next year.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about Jesse Eisenberg as an actor, and I was also thinking about Bill Murray, who I did not know was going to be in this film, so it's kind of weird I was thinking about him. But Jesse Eisenberg, as I've noticed in all of his films, is very, very... He's almost started typecasting himself, where the role that he plays in all of his films is very similar from one to the next, in the way that Bill Murray does that in all of his films as well, where if you go watch a movie, it's not really Bill Murray being a character, it's Bill Murray being Bill Murray in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Eisenberg is starting to feel that way to me in all the films he does. Not that he necessarily plays, not like Bill Murray, not to the extent that Bill Murray is, where Bill Murray is, he is Bill Murray in all of his films, and his films are Bill Murray movies. But Jesse Eisenberg has a way, like he acts, the way he acts is the same in every single film, even if he's not playing the same character in every single film.
See, I feel like his character in Now You See Me is very different.
He's a little more, and Now You See Me, he's a little more confident than he is in other movies.
Well,
but he still acts the same way.
True.
He talks quickly and he has jerky movements.
You're right. But in that one, I would say it's not just that he's a little more confident. He's like, I would say he always plays more quiet characters. He doesn't play people that are loud or.
He's kind of angry and compulsive.
No.
In Now You See Me.
Oh, well. Yeah, I was going to say, but at the same time, in that movie, he has a lot of finesse and he's very put together and confident, and he definitely is still somebody who he's quieter. He's very, he's more intellectual. He tends to, and he's serious. He's not he doesn't laugh a lot. He's not making a lot of jokes, or if he does, they're very they're very subtle and it's very dry. But I'm saying I feel like that's he's significantly more. I think that's significantly different. He still isn't playing a super outgoing, social, fun character other people might. But I think that that's kind of similar between all of his roles that I've seen him in, is that he tends to opt for people that are supposed to be more introverted in a way. But I think that his role in that is very different from this.
Well, it's different because said, it's not, they're different films, so he's playing different characters.
Well, I know, but you were saying you feel like his acting is the same in all of them, and I don't agree with that completely.
I think what it comes back to is it's hard for me to suspend disbelief when I watch him act. Now, I really like him as an actor. He's really funny. He has great delivery of lines. He's a great actor. I like watching his movies. But it's hard for me to get... It's just... I can't see him as the character he is. I just see him as Jesse Eisenberg. Because he acts like Jesse Eisenberg. He doesn't act like his character, because he acts the same way in every film to me.
Yeah.
But in contrast to that, Woody Harrelson is a great example of somebody who
has range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just crazy range.
Had range within this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because he, you start with meeting him, and the very first thing you get about it, I wrote it down, one of the first things is you get, he's in the ass-kicking business and business is good. And, he's super tough and he's not going to take anything from Columbus. And then later on you get him a little bit of his story about I had a dog that I loved. And then you get the part where where it becomes, he suddenly gets very emotional when you find out that he lost his little kid. And, and then after that you see a significant change in his character, where he's a lot more empathetic and he's hanging out with Little Rock a lot more. And they're building forts together and stuff like that. And so, just an impressive range of acting even within this. He's not even the same, like, he's the same character, but, you know, his character changes a lot over the course of the film, even though it's not a very serious film.
It doesn't change that much. I mean, it's your average amount of character development.
Mm. Okay, I mean, that's what I'm saying, like, a lot for what kind of movie it is. Like, obviously, it's not a drama, and it's not about, it's not a character piece or something. Like, it's not following his journey. I get that, I'm saying, but compared to the other three characters, you get a lot bigger change in his character than you do relative to the other three. I mean, what happens? Yeah. The little kid doesn't change at all.
Well, no.
And then the other two, Emma Stone
becomes nicer. Basically, and
Emma Stone learns to trust, and he decides to break one of his rules.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's all you get. And then from out of, you know, Woody Harrelson or Tallahassee, you get this, he starts as, you know, I work alone. I'm not interested. I could care less about who you are, or what your thing is. I'm just going to drive you a few miles and we're done. To at the end, he's this, you know, like, proud protector of this group of kids that he's hanging out with and is, you know, all has almost like not a father figure, but definitely more has adopted kind of that protective.
He's basically Haymitch from The Hunger Games. He acts as a father figure for them in that film.
Sure.
In a way.
You know, I kind of see him in the problem. Same light.
Plus the drinking part, because he did drinks in this film too.
Oh, so. But I was going to say, it's not a drinking problem. He's got a Twinkie obsession. It's an epic Twinkie quest.
Yeah. So the summary, well, let's talk about this movie's plot.
Okay.
Because I feel like it didn't really have one. Maybe that's just me. If you were going to sum up the plot, sum it up, because... And then I'll tell you what I think about it.
What you think about my summary? What you think about the movie?
What I think about the movie and
its plot. So if I was going to give our very brief summary of this movie.
Which always goes flawlessly.
It goes better when I do it than when you do it.
Yeah, sometimes.
Every time.
Oh, okay. Give it a shot.
Other than the one time I started with camera angles.
Yeah, that was not going to fly from the moment you started.
So in this one, it starts with an upside down view. No, I'm just kidding. So basically, zombies have infected, I think, the world is what you're led to believe, at least all of the U.S. And there's not very many people left at this point that aren't zombies. And so you are following the story of a college kid, Jesse Eisenberg, who is originally trying to make it back to Columbus, Ohio to see if his parents are still alive. And he ends up meeting up with Woody Harrelson and then Emma Stone and Abigail Breslin, who are sisters. And it's just about their adventures and, you know, kind of a little bit of backstabbing and all of that, as they're not sure if they can trust each other, but essentially just following their adventures as they survive zombies and drive across the country.
Exactly. And which is perfect.
Yes.
Because what you just described was not really, the movie does not really have a plot. In fact, you said it, it's just about their adventures.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, there is no plot driving this film. Exactly. I wanted to hate this movie.
Why?
I think part of it is, like, I don't like the advertising for the second one that they're doing right now. I really hate it. I feel like they're trying to make it too funny within the advertising, and it's kind of cringy to me.
I don't know. I thought this one was pretty funny, though. So if this next one is like
right, I know.
This one...
Okay, and I totally agree. But
okay.
I really want to go watch the second one now.
Oh, okay.
But
good.
Beforehand, that's what led me into wanting to hate this movie going in to watch it, because the second one just seemed so cringy from the advertising to me that I just really didn't want to like this movie. And actually, like, about halfway through the film, and I was taking notes and stuff, and I was like, you know, I should really split up my notes to, like, the negative things about this movie and the positive things about this movie. And I was like, okay, well, I better do that. And I looked at my notes, and they were all negative. So, like, I even halfway through this film, I still was not liking it. But by the end of the movie, I really came around to it, because I realized that it's not...
It's a very non-traditional zombie take. Which I like.
Yeah.
Partly because it isn't a driving plot of we're going to save the world or something. Like, there is no...
Which it almost started with, like, at a couple points in this movie, it almost goes to this where they're, like, they're trying to get to the haven, like, the spot that's untouched by the zombies, the safe place, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Every zombie film has that. Like, yeah. Oh, there's always one part of the world, Garden of Eden that's untouched. Oh, true. We gotta make it there. Oh, it's about our journey to there.
I do like, though, that they bring it up even pretty early in the movie that, well, everybody over here thinks that there's a safe spot on the, you know, East Coast, and everybody on the East thinks there's a safe spot on the West Coast, and the truth is there's nowhere safe, and you're just all on your own, and make it as long as you can.
Yeah.
And I like that they take that, where there is kind of like, I think they're all internally holding on to that little bit of hope that maybe there is a place that they can finally restart their lives and settle down. And obviously, because nobody wants to spend their life running from zombies and a constant danger of being killed or turned into a zombie, like, that's not fun. But I think they, it, even though they all are holding on to maybe that little bit of that internally as they're driving across the country, they're all pretty much aware of, like, we're kind of just on our own and there isn't a safe spot. We're not going to find a, you know, some group of people living in some miraculously isolated location. Mm-hmm. And so that's nice. It's a nice change between, it's really nice. Yeah, between that and then the fact that there isn't much of a plot line other than just following their adventures and that, you know, you have fun subplots like the Twinkie quest and yeah. stuff like that. Like that's that is Woody Harrelson's driving force through like three quarters of this movie is he just wants to find a Twinkie to eat. He doesn't even need a bunch of them. Like he just wants one Twinkie. That's all he wants. And that is his, I mean, yeah, he develops some other goals, but initially he's kind of just looking for a Twinkie and that's it. Like, you know, you've got Columbus with more what you'd expect out of like a character in a apocalyptic thing. You know, he wants to find his parents, make sure they're okay, you know, try to go home if he can. And then you've got him, you know, the juxtaposition with Woody Harrelson, who's like, I just want a Twinkie. Like, I'm gonna be the last human on earth to eat a Twinkie. Hell yeah. And like, that's it, you know, like that's it. That's at least initially, that's his story arc.
Yeah. But if you told me that ahead of time that this film doesn't really have a plot, I would have hated it even more going into it. Like, can't do that really? To a movie. A movie has to have a plot. Yeah, that's probably exactly what I would have thought. Really about anything. Like, if you told me a movie doesn't have a plot, I would just automatically assume it's a garbage movie who had a terrible director. Which it might have a terrible director.
I feel like What We Do in the Shadows doesn't have much of a plot.
Well, and that's about a fantastic the life of movie. Vampires.
Yeah, but it's still a fantastic movie. I mean, it doesn't really have a plot. It's supposed to be a fake documentary.
But it has a great director.
Anyways, does have a great director. Which brings me to a point that I want to... Okay, we need to... Well, remind me to come back to Taika Waititi.
Yeah,
well, When we are done with this.
Okay, sure. But, well, now I've lost...
Okay, sorry. You were just talking about how you would have hated it more going into it if you had known it didn't have a plot.
Yep.
Okay.
better summary than most of your film summaries.
Not true. Also, the one time that you tried to do a film summary, it crashed and burned. So, and you even admitted on the podcast that I am better and I should do them. So,
oh, I did.
Yes.
Didn't I?
You did. There's proof. The world knows, or our 8 listeners know. Anyway, anything else you want to talk about in regard to, or do you want to just kind of move on to just things we liked in general about, or disliked about the
movie? Yeah, do you want to start with, let's start with dislikes. Let's start with hates. What are some hates? Or I can go first.
Yeah, go ahead and go first, because I'm not sure if there's anything I hate about this movie.
There are some things that I did not like, and one of them is the rules. First of all, I don't like weird, non-diegetic animations in films. Things that are only for the viewer. I don't like that. So, like, the subtitles in the John Wick films make me really angry, because they're weird. And the rules that just, like, show up on the screen in this are just...
And yet you loved Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That movie's got all kinds of that stuff
there. Yeah, that's
true. Coins popping out of people, stuff like that. Like, the whole...
But it's a funny movie.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Well, so is this.
But I don't know. Well, okay, but also, those all happened in the first half of the movie, and I really hated this movie for the first half of it. So that kind of just contributed to it. Towards the end of the film, I liked it, and I'm okay with the rules now, but I'm still just kind of wishing that they had not
just gone that direction.
It's annoying to me. Okay. Yeah, it really that's is. Fair. The rules thing is fine, and like he writes them in his notebook, and that's cool and whatever, but I don't need them up on the screen. I don't need you shoving them down my throat. Like,
yeah,
just let me enjoy the movie, and I just don't need that.
That's fair. I didn't love them either. I mean, they're not something that I hated, but... I definitely felt like they were unnecessary because he's constantly reiterating them, but I didn't think I needed to see them. Yeah, okay.
We have a narrator. Like, he's narrating the film, basically. So, like, that's fine. Let's do that. Let's not do the rules. We don't need both.
Yeah, like, I was fine with him mentioning his rules because, you know, I think that that's a... Obviously, that's kind of an important part about when you get to the end of the movie where he decides to break one of his rules that have, and you know, he can, you know, he attributes his ability to stay alive so far to the rules,
which would have been better if he had either had one rule and had to break that one rule, like a golden rule for surviving the apocalypse, or if he just had to like break all of his rules.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of what they were going for with giving him a bunch of rules just plays into his character that he's supposed to be kind of annoying yeah. and neurotic a little bit. So I think that that was part of it, too, is that instead of him just having a couple of basic rules on how to survive, he's got 32 of them. Uh-huh. That you're like, really? You have 32 rules?
The problem
rules?
Is they're actually, like, kind of good rules.
Well, you only get to hear, like, five of them in the movie, though.
But they're so
you
good. Don't, like, well, all yeah, of them are solid.
Yeah, yeah, but I think that's the point, is, like, you get to hear the good ones, but then you realize that he's got, you know, another 28 of them, and you're like, so what are those other rules? Because I feel like we've covered all of our bases in these five, so, like, what's in those rules? That I think it just kind of plays into that. You're feeling like, all right, that's kind of overkill. You didn't yeah. need 32 rules. You probably could have done it in 10. But so I think that that's kind of part of it, is it just is adding to the personality that they're trying to create for this college mm-hmm. kid. So, but yeah, I didn't love him either. I guess most of my issues with this movie just had more to do with little things, like just dumb, I guess, stuff that is movie type thing, you know, movie type dumbness where they waste a lot
too
of
general form.
Okay no I'm giving an example, like they waste a lot of ammo, which I feel like is really stupid in a zombie movie.
Okay, but that's Woody Harrelson's character, like when they find the guns and he's just like shooting them off in the sky.
Yeah,
like,
okay, that was yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I get that as part of his character, like obviously yes, it's part of his character, but I mean, it wasn't so much I had a problem with it being a part of his character, I just have a problem like with it. Kind of how, like, I don't like you know, villains that don't have a goal. They just want to kill everybody. I kind of feel that way about some of the stuff where it's like, okay, it may not be an actual problem with the way that the character is written. Like, he's still a likable character, and it totally makes sense with who he's supposed to be in this movie. That, of course, he's just, like, randomly firing off guns and excitement that he finds. But if you're creating a zombie movie, there's kind of part of me that's like, why are they wasting ammunition? Where are you going to get more of it? You know?
But it's a comedy.
It is a comedy. Yeah, yeah, I know. So so that's what I'm saying. There's nothing that I hated. These are just kind of little things that annoyed me.
So something I didn't like about his character was all of the wannabe one-liners. Like the shut up and nut up, or I'm in the business of ass kicking and business is good. And he has a couple other later in the film. They're so... The way he, like, delivers these lines makes him feel like he's quoting other films. And not like they're actual part of this film. Like... original to this film. It's almost like they, I don't know, maybe they're doing that on purpose as part of his character, but I don't like how hard they're trying to make these one-liners, like, oh yeah, shut up and nut up. Okay,
not shut up and nut up, it's shut nut up or whatever. Shut up or something like
no,
that.
No, it's shut up or I don't know.
Yeah, it's, know. It's an or, it's not an and. I know that whatever. Much
they just felt like really over the top exaggerated one-liners that they were trying too hard with.
Definitely the like, not so much the first time he said it, but then when he kept using a couple of them, that's when it kind of had more of that feel to me, where it's like, okay, this is something they obviously want people to walk away from this movie quoting. Like, yeah. That's when I got it. The first time he used like the shut up or nut up or whatever that thing is, I
shut your nuts up.
That's definitely not that. Like the first time he used it, I was like, okay, whatever, because it's really early after you meet his character and the narration is still kind of explaining to you what kind of person he is. So I was like, all right, it feels kind of weird and out of place, but it might be because they're still working on like introducing you to this character. But then when it keeps getting used in the film, you're like, okay, no, they're just trying to make this happen.
Yeah,
they want people to start saying this, or they want people to be like, oh, that was such a good line.
They want the 12-year-olds to walk out of the theater going, shut up or nut up.
Yeah, yeah. So then you get that later. So I understand where you're coming from. Like, it didn't like super annoy me, but it's just kind of an eye roll where you're like, I see what you're trying to do there. So
the other thing that I really didn't like about this movie, genuinely didn't like, and still don't, not like I came around to it or something by the end of the film because I like the movie or whatever, something I really didn't like was all of the B-horror grade gore. This movie has so much of that, and that's something I really like. It disgusts me in movies, and it's not gore like The Walking Dead gore or something, where it's kind of like it's gory, but it's not gory in an over-the-top way like this is, where it's just like really bright red blood just everywhere and heads are just getting like smashed and there's just this, you know, tomato juice red blood just going everywhere. Like, I just really, really hate that about movies and TV shows. Like Santa Clarita Diet.
Santa Clarita
Diet.
Yeah.
That had that too. It also had really bad acting, which is why I stopped watching it. But it also had that, which is just, it's too... be horror cringy. It's the same with Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I just couldn't make it through that movie because it's just something about that just like just over the top gore that's just...
Wait, so it grosses you out or it just annoys you to the point where you can't watch it?
It grosses me out, which annoys me to the point where I can't watch it. It's not like I'm like, I'm getting a sick stomach, I can't watch this. It's like, this is just so stupid. I don't want to watch this anymore. And it's so cringy how like just gross the blood is. It's not even
I feel like it fits this movie though, because it's not a serious zombie movie. It's a comedy.
So is Santa Clarita Diet.
Santa Clarita, not Santa Clarita.
It's still cringy to me.
Okay,
I can't handle it.
I guess it doesn't bother me as much. It would bother me if this was a really serious movie. If this was supposed to be kind of a hard-hitting, dramatic, emotionally moving, or something like that. If that was the genre of this film, and it had this really lame, like, low, you know, something that feels like B-grade special, or not special effects, but practical effects done for, like, gore. Yeah, then that would bother me, I think, because it would be clashing with the rest of the film. But the fact that this is a comedy and that it's not taking itself very seriously anyway, I don't feel like it's as big of a deal. Like, yeah, it'd be nice if they'd spent a little bit more money on those effects, but I don't think that it takes away from the film at all for me. Especially because I'm not, like, I can do anything that's gory and it doesn't bother me at all, so.
Spent more money or just not gone so over the top with including so much.
Yeah, or have done those scenes differently. Sure, you could have done that. I didn't feel like it was that bad, especially because I felt like a lot of it was... I mean, it was cheesy, but I felt like a lot of it wasn't, you know, I didn't think there was that much, like, bright red blood, you know. I felt like they did a better job of, like, making things look more realistic, like, oh, this blood is really old and it's been there for a while, or it's just dark because that's what actually happens if you took a bite out of somebody's neck. Like, it wouldn't be bright red tomato juice colored, you know.
Which is what more gritty films and TV shows do, like The Walking Dead or, like, a lot of war films and stuff. Yeah.
And I didn't feel like this one was horrible on that. Like, mostly it was more of, like, when they'd have people, you know, taking a bite out of somebody and they'd, like, the guts would be, like, really stringy and, like, stretchy looking. Yeah. And that, you know, like, they were...
Or the part where she has one guy's intestine and she, like, is, like, shaking into her mouth to get all the blood or something like that.
Yeah. See, I mean, I didn't feel like... It didn't register for me that much.
But it bothered me.
I've seen worse, so...
I had to clear it a diet.
yeah, among other things, yeah. I just didn't feel like it was that bad. And especially because it's not supposed to be a super serious film in a comedy, I'm okay with that. It probably, for this type of comedy, if they had done it more seriously, I think it would be a little bit too much there, too. If they had kept that amount of gore, but they had made it really realistic, just because of the type of humor it is, I don't think that would work. I think they would really have to change the way they wrote the entire thing, because they would need, it would need to be a much darker, more subtle humor if you were going to go with a really gritty, realistic type of gore. Hey, yeah.
I just remembered. This movie reminds me of Shaun of the Dead. That's what it is.
Yeah!
I was trying to figure it out during the film.
It does. It's so much like that. Okay. And that was a good movie, too. As zombie movies go,
okay,
yeah,
so that's
another fun one.
And I didn't know this. Apparently, that's part of a trilogy. Not a trilogy that's all part of the same storyline, but that and Hot Fuzz and another movie that I'm not sure what it is. It's a trilogy in the sense that they're all made by the same director and...
Well, I knew that...
They all have the same actors in them.
I knew that Simon Pegg was in Hot
Simon
Fuzz,
Pegg
too.
Simon Pegg and
the other guy.
The chubby guy, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's others too, but there's a third one. I cannot remember what it's about, but I really want to watch it because it's supposed to be part of, like, a trilogy. And I'm sure there's other, like, subtle connections between all three of them, too. So I've seen Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, so it'd be interesting to see the third one that's not as popular.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay, so what's good about this film? What are its redeeming hallmarks that will echo through the halls of films? I'm sorry, I'm done.
Okay. I don't think that there's anything that's, you know... incredible where you're like, wow.
No, there's nothing groundbreaking.
Filmmaking.
Don't even try to make a groundbreaking approach to this.
So I don't think there's anything like that. I think it mostly, it's just great because it is fun. Like, it's for the most part, it's a non-serious approach to a zombie movie, much like Shaun of the Dead, where, like, you're dealing with serious subject matter, but you're treating it in a way that's just fun and kind of lighthearted and, you're just having a good time. I think that that is one of its biggest redeeming values, is that it didn't try to go the route of, you know, oh, we're going to be World War Z, or we're going to be, you know, The Walking Dead, or I Am Legend, or anything like that. Like, we're
because it's a comedy.
Yeah, and I like that it's a zombie comedy. Like, I think that...
A zom-com? I'm coining that right now.
A zom-com. Dibs,
I call it.
I think that, not that I want, you know, everybody to make one, but I think, you know, the world could do with a few more of those. Because there's so many things that are, oh, we're going to be really serious about this, and it's dark, and it's, you know, edgy.
I would agree with you, except that I think that zombies are kind of on the way out the door.
No, okay, I didn't mean necessarily zombies. I just meant in dealing with, like, any of those things that have, like, a horror kind of background. You know, like, yeah. not that zombies are, like, I guess they're not really horror. I don't know what they are. I wouldn't consider Terror. Them horror. They're not really, no. I don't know. They're like a thriller, so kind
apocalyptic.
Of, like a thriller element kind of, I guess, if that. I don't know.
Monster thriller.
Survival is almost what they are, is like a survival type thing, or at least that's how they usually get handled. So I like that too, that they didn't make a big deal out of the survival aspect of, like, how are we going to do this? In fact, they kind of gloss over a lot of things that you would have questions about, like, how are they fueling up the car to drive from, sure, you know, right. wherever they are, Texas to California? Like, how are they doing that? You know, they all seem really clean and put together the whole time. Where are they showering? Are they finding places that...
Bill Murray's place.
Yeah. I don't know. It glosses over a lot of those things rather than other movies that tend to focus on the, like, oh no, we're running out of food, we have to go raid a store or something like that, where they make a big deal out of the actual survival process, because that's what the movie is more about. And then this one was just more like, nah, we're going to gloss over all that stuff and just keep it fun. And, you know, we'll turn a blind eye to the fact that somehow their car they haven't had to stop for gas. They apparently also did not sleep between, like, Arizona and California is what they said. So just stuff like that. Like, I think that that's a really fun, good way to do that movie. And it works really well.
It gives the bird to logic, but not in a way where you're, like, angry at the film. Like, this doesn't add up, you know? Like,
yeah.
This isn't possible.
Yeah.
You don't get angry at it for the shortcuts it takes in mm-hmm. the logical arena.
Yeah. So I think that was good. I did like that they gave it, I guess, a little bit of gravitas by, like, giving you those, like, two scenes, and, you know, when they're at Bill Murray's house, where you get a little bit of, like, some people's backgrounds and finding out that they give you a little bit of emotion. So it's not completely a joke. Like, I appreciated that kind of, especially because, like, the whole kid dying thing was a lot more sad than what I was expecting out of this movie.
Same. I got little baby shivers on that.
It made me really sad, especially because the kid that played that role was super cute.
Yeah. So was the dog.
The dog was cute too, but I mean, like, the human child was cuter. So that made me really sad with that part getting there and being like, oh no, his kid got killed by zombies. That's horrifying. You know, and you're like, no wonder this man is so bitter and upset. And, like, yeah, he's probably going through a lot right now, because, I mean, you don't know how long it's been. But either way, that's a traumatic experience for anybody to go through, to have their child eaten by zombies or turned into a zombie, probably. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I thought that was good, because it made it feel a little bit more like a movie that's meant to be taken sort of seriously and not just a complete joke. But I guess we've already kind of talked about the other things. I mean, a lot of it is just that they're fun people to watch. Like, the acting's good for the most part, and they have good chemistry, I think, as a group, that it works well. And, you know, you throw Bill Murray in there, he's a fun addition for those couple of scenes, and I think it just works really well. And I think that's, I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot to unpack, because it doesn't have a plot.
What more can you ask from a film than that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what more can you get than Bill Murray? Come on.
Bill Murray and his brother. He has a brother, you know.
Yeah, I know.
He looks a lot like him.
I know.
Yeah.
Doesn't get the same kind of roles, though.
No. Well, there was one time he was in a film, and I cannot remember what movie it was, and we thought it was Bill Murray at first, and then we're like, man, yeah, something's just wrong about that guy. Like, oh, that's Bill Murray's brother.
Wasn't that a Christmas movie or something?
I think it was,
watched?
But
I'm
just
sure
do not.
I'm sure you remember, because we watched
remember.
It with Mom and Dad, I think.
I cannot remember what
I think I remember
movie
Dad looking it up. Yeah. What did you like about it? Like,
one thing we already touched on, which is the fact that it does not have a plot, really. Mm-hmm. Effectively, it doesn't have a plot, and it's just kind of a fun-loving, like, just people being people in a zombie apocalypse, trying to make their way in the wild west of the zombie apocalypse. But also, it really came back to the characters for me as well. Like, this movie has, in my opinion, really solid characters with, I mean, you have a good sister dynamic. with the two sisters. But then Woody Harrelson's character is a lot deeper than you expect it to be. And obviously it doesn't get super deep with his character. It just kind of brushes the surface of like, oh, he actually has like a lot of pain in his past. And it's okay that he's jaded and angry at the world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just that he's a redneck and he's just angry because that's his personality. And and I agree with you that all of the characters have really good chemistry. And I'm assuming the actors probably do as well, too, which is going to directly contribute to how well they interact with each other in the film, because it'll just feel more natural.
Yeah, generally you see that kind of correlation. Yeah.
So, and it just, I just felt like I had really strong characters. And the more I think about it, the more I think that's what can really make or break a film.
Honestly, yeah.
How solid the characters are. Like, you can give a film with a really, really, really tremendously good plot and characters that you can't relate to or that you just don't care about them, and it ruins the film. Or you can flip the other way around. A movie with a really bad plot, or effectively no plot, could still be a really, really good film if you give us good characters.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm...
Well, and that kind of goes back to what I brought up about, like, what we do in the shadows is another thing without a plot, really. But it's... It can stand because it is well acted and well written. And so, even though it, you know... You could make an argument that, like, on paper, if you just listed, like, the facts about the, you know, about this movie, you'd be like, I don't know if that's going to be that great. You know, there's not much of a plot. There's not a lot going on. Like, what's going to hold the audience's attention? What's going to make them want to sit through this movie? But then, yeah, you get a good group of people in there that have good chemistry, probably off the screen, and then really do a good job playing their characters effectively. And it's a well-written character that interacts well with other well-written characters. Then... Yeah, you don't need a big plot. You don't need a massive story arc.
No, I think that's what would set this apart from, like, Shaun of the Dead. I'll just compare these two because they're very similar movies.
Yeah.
I actually think I like Shaun of the Dead more still, just because I think British humor is really, in a lot of ways, superior. Just because it's a lot drier and funnier, and Sean Pegg is just an absolute ball. But I think the difference is that Shaun of the Dead doesn't have distinct characters, really. Distinct from one another. That's the thing about this film, is that Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson, there it is, and Emma Stone, like, they have distinct characters from one another. Like, they have their own character that makes them and separates them from the other people. Emma Stone's character, I didn't think was all that three-dimensional. I think she was kind of a not that strong of a character. But especially with the two lead guys.
Which is actually why I'm excited to see the new one, because... Now that you have a foundation with these characters already built and you're not working on trying to get to know them, they're not trying to get to know each other and break past, you know, oh, can we trust each other? Like, you know, do we get close to each other? Do we let that happen? Like, you're not trying to get through all of that. So I think that that will be an improvement for especially her character, because she definitely did feel the most, I mean, other than the little sister, but she's kind of more of a secondary character anyway, she'll feel less two-dimensional, I think, but then also combined with the fact that I think Emma Stone has just become a much better actress in the last few years. So I think that that combination, because I'm assuming that the character will be better written, I think that combination will be really good and that I will really like her. I mean, I didn't dislike her, but I think I'll like her a lot more, you know, more like how I like the two guys.
And I think I'm going to like, what's the girl's name?
Abigail Breslin.
Yeah, I think I'm going to like her character a lot less. Like, obviously they're trying to make her, like, an annoying, like, stereotypical college-age girl for the next film, but I think it's going to get on my nerves really quickly when I watch that movie.
I mean, I like Abigail Breslin, though. And I don't
know anything about her.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen some other stuff with her, and I like Abigail Breslin. I think... I mean, a lot of what I've seen, granted, is more of stuff from when she was younger. So... I think she's, like, pretty adorable in a lot of her younger stuff. But I don't think she's a bad actress in anything I've seen. So it'll be interesting to see, like, but again, you said, you know, like, we talked about the trailer is kind of, like, it feels like it's trying to push a very specific way that they want people to come in, like, an expectation they want people to bring into the movie. So I don't know if that'll actually be what it is, because a lot of times trailers just pick and choose a couple of scenes and it gives it the movie one feel in a trailer, and then it's totally different when you watch the movie.
Is that really what this... Tell me then Double Tap is going to do, or is it going to be more...
I don't know. I'm just saying it might. It will. I mean, obviously, it's yet to be seen. I have
much higher hopes for it now after watching the first one than I did beforehand.
Yeah.
I was not going to watch it or even think about watching it before watching the first one. And now I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Which makes sense because a lot of people that I have just been talking to recently about, you know, movies coming out and all that, a lot of people have mentioned that they're excited to see the new Zombieland, but those are all people that really loved the first one. So makes sense. Like, and now I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, why you'd be excited for this one. Because this was a fun movie, and if it's, you know, you're bringing back the same cast, the same director, all of that, you're probably looking at another really fun zombie movie. So,
the only other thing I really wanted to talk about was that I actually thought that, well, I did not think, if I had not known they were going to make a second one, if I watched this movie, you know, a year ago or something, I would have thought that Woody Harrelson was actually going to die in the end of this film.
Same.
And I actually wanted him to. Like, that would have been a great... I don't know, for some reason that would have been great, especially because you get the flashback to, like, his son, and he has, like, that pain, and, like, maybe this is his, just his, like...
But he's finally shared it with people, and it's on his chest kind of thing. Yeah, he's kind of
passed it on a little bit to other people, and he's been a father figure again, and now he can die, and it's okay, and he can get his revenge on the zombies.
No, I totally, when I got to that, that last amusement park scene with them, I totally was thinking the same thing, like, when he's climbing up on the roof, and they're coming for him, and...
Especially because he was going to go to Mexico and just leave them all behind again, and then he decides not to.
Oh, yeah. I had the exact same thought process. I was like, man, if I did not know that there was a sequel and that he is in it, I would be expecting to see him die at any second now.
Yeah, basically.
And I honestly expected also because of just the way that scene felt, but also because I knew that he's in the second one, I expected him to have some kind of like near-death experience where, like, you know, maybe he gets injured. Like,
that's the thing. I don't think that this film could have killed a main character like that, because then it would actually have to be, if they didn't take it seriously, nothing in this movie is taken seriously. Like, there's the one little bit with his son, which is kind of emotional, but it's a really quick blip and we move on to more humor. That's why they could not kill a main character in this film, because it would either have to be emotional, which would not fit with the theme of the movie, or they would die and it would get emotional quickly, and then they'd have to move on really quickly to more funny stuff, and it would be not the right way to, for
but I was thinking more that it just might be that, you know, he would get injured or something, but not like a life-threatening injury, just that something like that would happen, because it felt like it was kind of building to that with him, you know, being on his own, like, you go save your girl, like, I'll do this. It kind of felt like it was building towards something that maybe not that they weren't going to kill him off, but just that they were going to have to nurse him back to health over time or something. I don't know. I just kind of expected there to be something like that. Yeah. But then, you know, again, I guess your point is good that maybe it wouldn't have made sense because it would have been a little too intense for this film. Yeah, I really feel like it wouldn't have worked with the feeling. I could see that. I will say I have one note on here that what I really wanted was I wish that there was, like, maybe there is somewhere, and maybe they made it like a bonus feature or something. I don't know. I haven't looked it up at all. But there, when they were talking about the zombie kill of the week and they showed the one old lady with the piano, I realized that that was what I wanted. I want a short, you know, like 10 minutes or something, maybe less than that, maybe like 5 minutes of just people around the country, like, and this is the zombie kill of the week, and just killing zombies in bizarre ways. Like, I really wanted that.
I thought it was gonna do that too, when it, like, especially because they talk about it earlier, and it shows that clip of that happening, and there's the little, like,
and the little, like, star icon thing. Shows yeah. up, I like, it's on ESPN like, or something.
I thought there was gonna be like a 4 minute interlude where they just go around to, like, people in different states killing zombies different ways.
I would love to see that. So maybe it's something that exists somewhere, that maybe it was like a, you know, maybe you bought the DVD or something, there was a special maybe. Like a, you know, bonus feature. I don't know. It was just I realized in that moment that that was what I was missing in my life, was a zombie kill of the week short film. And that it would be beautiful, especially if there were ones like that old lady dropping a piano on one and stuff like that.
I'm sure somebody on YouTube did a great version of their own ways of zombie kills of the week, inspired by Zombie Land.
Oh, yeah.
So, final consensus. Do you want me to go first, or do you go first?
I don't care.
Okay, I'll go first. Okay. I actually don't know yet, so I'll figure it out while I'm talking. So, like I said, hated this movie from the beginning. It was definitely like a 3 for the first half of the film. Didn't feel like it was going anywhere. I didn't like it. I was angry at it. I didn't want to be watching it. But by the end of the film, I realized it had really good characters. It didn't have a plot, and that was okay because it didn't need a plot. One other complaint would be that this movie is like a zombies only attack from the front for some reason. There are no, like, zombie, like, oh, gotcha, from the back or something.
Okay, but we talked about this movie does choose to ignore some logic.
It does, but that's something that is... innate with like zombies. Like,
yeah, they are. I will say there were multiple scenes in this movie where I was expecting one to come up from behind because of the way it was filmed. Yeah. And I expected there to be the one that showed up in somebody, you know, behind somebody or in their peripheral vision or something. And that, and then it never happened. So,
yeah. Yeah. But that's what, just watch, because I mean, every other zombie movie, there's always one good, at least one good, like, jump scare from behind, like, okay, I'm safe. And then, like, oh, all of a sudden from behind him, it's like, oh, you know, yeah. I forgot to watch my back. Like, that should be a rule. That should be one of his rules, watch your back. Like, that would be easy to integrate into his rule system mm-hmm. and, like, examples and whatnot. And they could harken back to it throughout the film and all that. Like, they yeah. did the other rules. Could have worked pretty well, but not that big of a deal. Not a make or break.
Mm-hmm.
So, ultimately, I think I'm giving this movie, like, 6 because it's a solid, maybe a 5.5. It's a solid, funny comedy movie about zombies, and there aren't a whole lot of those out there that are actually solidly funny and not just stupid, weird, gross, and
yeah,
with B-horror gore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it comes in at a 5.5. Mediocre, not something I would watch again in a while, but it did make me, I mean, it changed my mind from hating it by the end of the movie, so that's good.
Made you want to see the second one.
And it makes me want to go see the second one, so it did its job there. But, you know, ultimately, it's not something that's going to go down in history for me.
Okay.
There are no hallmarks to ring in the Hall of Fame of movies, so.
True. I mean, yeah, it's definitely not a Hall of Fame type movie. I would give it a little bit higher score. I would give it probably more like 6.5. But I think that part of that is because I'm not a big fan of zombies. Not because I'm grossed out by them or scared of them. I just tend to think zombies are really dumb. It's not a concept I've ever really bought into. As, you know, like, I have zero interest in The Walking Dead. I watched part of I Am Legend and got bored. Like, I just am not interested in zombies. Like, they just, I'm not intrigued by them. I think they're really boring. I think it's a really blasé concept. Not to mention, in the last, like, 10 or 15 years, there's just been an overkill of zombies in media. So I'm burnt out on them without even watching most of it. And so the fact that I actually really enjoyed this movie for being a zombie movie makes it rank a little higher for me, just because it's a zombie movie. I actually enjoyed that. And like Shaun of the Dead, I really like that one too. I would definitely rank Shaun of the Dead higher than this one. But because like you said, I think the British humor is just a little better. It's a little, I think that movie's a little bit more fun, but mostly because it's quirkier. But I liked this one a lot. Not just because it was a zombie movie, just better than I thought I was going to. So I'd give it probably 6.5. Is six about, and a half. Yeah. That's, I mean, fair. Yeah. Again, like, it's just a little above kind of being average. I don't, or it's, yeah, like, it's not going to be something that I'm going to be like, you know, got to recommend this to everybody. Like, oh, you got to add it to your Halloween watch list or something. Like, it's not going to make it for that. But it's something I would watch again in the future. Probably not soon, but like, if somebody hadn't seen it, I'd be like, yeah, I'll watch Zombieland with you. That's a fun movie, you know. I like it because you don't have to be super paying attention to it either. Like, you could kind of, you know, especially if you're gonna go back and rewatch it with somebody else, it wouldn't be like, oh, okay, now I have to be focused because it's serious or something. Like,
yeah, or it's just, you fun. Have to be focused, pay attention, make sure you pay attention to the movie.
Yeah You can still appreciate it without having to pay super close attention to it, because like, there isn't a plot line, so not really. So
yeah
that's kind of where I'd put it. So not a whole lot different from yours, but definitely also made me want to see the second one. I was already kind of interested in the second one because I like the people in it. So it already kind of just made me want to see it to begin with. But now that I have seen the first one, I definitely want to see
it. And that'll tell you
one.
Like, how much I really was angry at the second movie, just because
you like Woody Harrelson
that,
a lot.
Because I love Woody Harrelson and I love Jesse Eisenberg. And I was just did not. I was so angry at the fact that that movie even existed. It was just making me so angry. But now I'll go see.
Yeah.
It, you know.
It'd probably be fun.
Or Taika Waititi. Let's talk about him.
Okay. Well, no, I was just going to say that I am really interested to see his new movie, the Jojo Rabbit one. Have you seen any of the trailers for that one?
Is that the Nazi one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen a little bit of it.
Oh, okay. I was looking it up today. Unfortunately, it is not showing in any Salem theaters. It came out on the 18th and it's not showing in any Salem theaters. So I'm going to see if I'm probably, because I'm going to go see Joker this weekend with Mitch and Bradley, I think. So I'm going to see if maybe they want to go to Portland and see that one. But I mean, you might want to go too. Anyway, but yeah, I just think that it looks like a really interesting concept. Like, I'm excited to see it because it's like a comedy sort of. I think it's kind of a drama and kind of a comedy, but it's take place in Nazi Germany, and like the kid's imaginary friend is Hitler or something, and like it just looks very like strange, and like it's gonna be one of those really quirky movies where you walk away from it being like, okay, wow, that was something else. Kind of like it almost looks like it has a little bit of like the producer's element to it, where it's like, we're taking something that's really serious, like Nazi Germany, that's not really a joke, and we're gonna find a way to make it funny.
We're gonna make it funny, but we're not gonna get in trouble for it.
Yeah, and that is one thing that I'm really interested to see, because obviously like dealing with Nazis and the Holocaust and stuff like that is really sensitive.
As long as they stay away from things like the actual Holocaust, like as long as they stay away from concentration camps and that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think it'll be fine.
See, I don't know where it's going to go. Like, obviously, I've only seen a little bit of trailers and I haven't gotten to see it yet. But I just know that, like, the one-line synopsis is basically that this kid, this who's in, like, Hitler's youth army or whatever, finds out that his mom is hiding a Jewish girl. So I don't know where it's going to go. I don't think, just based on what I've seen in the trailers, that it's going to go the route of, like, we're going to end up in a concentration camp at any point in the movie. I don't think that's going to happen.
That would be a wrong turn.
Yeah, that would be definitely a wrong turn. But I'm really intrigued by it just for like all kinds of reasons, because I, you know, like it's a historically sort of based thing. So that'll be interesting. It's a good director who's also starring in it. So that'll be interesting because he plays Hitler in it. So, and then kind of this bizarre, like we're also making it a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I literally don't know anything about it, but I don't have to. If Taika Waititi makes a movie, I'll go see it. That's.
Yeah.
That's where he is at this point. He's made his career like it.
Yeah.
If he makes a movie, I'll go watch it. That's all there is to it. So,
yeah. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say, was just that I'm intrigued by it. I think that it's going to be something I'm probably going to like a lot, but I really just have like no kind of, despite having seen trailers for it, I really just kind of no idea what to expect going into it either.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the beauty of Taika Waititi. I mean, mm-hmm. other than, well, even Thor Ragnarok was so much different than other films, you know? I mean, that's his most mainstream film, obviously, but everything else he's done is just so out in the weeds, you know? It's just so, you just don't know what to expect when you go into, when you watch a movie by him, so.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that'll be interesting, and then if, you know, when we go to see it, maybe something we can come back to, and even if we don't review it, maybe just address it just a little bit, briefly. Yeah, because it's an interesting concept, if nothing else, and it's very different than anything else that's coming out right now, which is also something to appreciate, so. Yeah, that was where I wanted to talk about with him. So I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to cover.
No, it's getting hot in this room.
Yeah.
It always does.
Yes, it does. Anything else non-movie related we need, feel like?
Nah, I don't know.
All right.
Email us at limitedtoeverything@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a wrap. That's...